biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, thank you for joining us. Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. And Pastor Rock, I just want to throw one phrase at you today.
And should I duck?
And let you run with it. I've heard it all my life. In these few words, I have no clue what Scripture is talking about. And it says that obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, I could shake my head and say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know what that means. But I don't have a clue. So I'd love for you
to your honesty.
Unpack this, you know, so I have some type of intelligence to come back with, you know, when that's brought up.
Well, I think most people just hearing the phrase would think, well, yeah, obedience is better than sacrifice, but then would quickly have a second thought, why sacrifice in that statement? I mean, obedience, people would acknowledge, is a good thing.
Exactly.
Why would the Bible say it's better than sacrifice, especially when all throughout the Bible we read about sacrifice?
Exactly.
I mean, in the Old Covenant, God instituted numerous sacrifices and offerings.
And they were commanded to do, right?
They were commanded to do them. And then Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
And we even see, and a lot of people don't know this, but in the millennium, in the thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth, in Israel, as the Jewish people in mass recognize Jesus as their Messiah, they will reinstitute animal sacrifices.
No kidding.
Yeah, and people say, well, why would they go back to the old covenant animal sacrifices? Well, they won't be sacrifices for their sins. Jesus is the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. But Jewish believers sacrificing animals in the millennium will actually be engaging in what I like to call a Jewish form of communion.
Huh.
In the Old Covenant, the animal sacrifices witnessed to, symbolized the coming sacrifice of Jesus.
Right.
Then when Jesus sacrificed himself, that system was done away with. New Covenant believers celebrate communion, the bread and the cup, as Jesus instituted.
Exactly, exactly.
Looking back upon his death, when finally the Jewish people in mass recognize Jesus is in actuality their Messiah and turn to him after the betrayal of the Antichrist, they will reinstitute animal sacrifices looking back, just like we look back with the bread and cup. Huh. So it really is a Jewish form of communion, and it sort of brings things full circle. Their ancestors offered animal sacrifices looking forward. They'll offer them for a time looking back.
Looking back, right.
Okay, but why is obedience better than sacrifice?
Good question.
And why did God say that? Well, go back to 1 Samuel 15. You'll remember that God commanded King Saul of Israel, when he went against the Amalekites, to destroy every one of them and their livestock. All the people, all the livestock. There was to be no booty, no plunder, no spoils of war. And I probably should say people really struggle with those commandments from God to entirely destroy a people,
right,
including the women and children.
Right. Right.
Unbelievers have a heyday with those passages. Ah, this is the loving God you worship. And here's my take on that. prior to Jesus' death and resurrection, which defeated principalities, powers, demonic forces. God's people did not have the authority and the basis whereby they could cast out demons. That all hinges upon the finished work of Christ.
Right.
Jesus did it before his death and resurrection, but that was Jesus.
Right.
And he sent out his disciples subsequently to do so. But again, that was all based on Jesus being here and what he was about to do. But in the Old Covenant, they didn't have that same potential. We know that many of these peoples that God ordered their extermination were involved in demonic worship. They worshiped idols. In many of the religions, they offered their children to the idols. So what you had was entire populations of people that were demon-possessed.
Wow.
And we know demons can take up residence in livestock as well.
Right.
New Testament, Jesus casts the demons out of the man and they go into a herd of swine.
Right.
So for God to eliminate demon-possessed peoples and livestock in the Old Covenant, the only way possible was to destroy their lives.
Even the children were possessed.
Oh, sure. Mm. So how else could it have been accomplished? They couldn't go in and preach the gospel of Christ to them and in the authority of Jesus cast out the demons.
Right. It's too early.
And here's what you have to remember. Demon-possessed tribes of people posed great threat to God's creation and certainly to God's people, Israel. They were a spiritual cancer.
Right.
Now, when we find cancer in our body, we want our oncologist, our surgeon, to destroy every cell of it.
Exactly.
We say, Doc, when you go in there surgically, chemo, radiation, get every bit of it.
Right.
Because if you leave even a little, it's the nature of cancer to grow.
Exactly.
Well, that's what God, in essence, was telling Saul to do in 1 Samuel and what he frequently asked Israel to do. These people with their pagan idols are demon-possessed. It goes even into their livestock. But it would not remain in their livestock. This cancer has to be removed.
Wow.
Right. In its entirety.
Right. Right.
So that's my take on why God would command entire populations. Okay? Now, we're not getting down a rabbit trail. It's important to understand this passage.
Sure.
So now we come back to 1 Samuel 15. God had told King Saul, destroy the Amalekites. Their king, their people, and don't keep any plunder. But here's what we read, 1 Samuel 15. Saul chose to keep King Agag alive, took the plunder from the battle, and rather than destroying everything as God had commanded, he kept some of it. And the prophet Samuel confronted him and said, what is this bleating of sheep that I hear?
Right.
And you've disobeyed the Lord, Saul said, and I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version, Saul said, I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission. I completely destroyed the Amalekites. I brought back their king. Well, that wasn't part of it. The soldiers, here's buck passing. The soldiers, not me, took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order them in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And notice, in talking to the prophet, he says the Lord your God, not the Lord our God.
Wow. Right.
It's very telling.
Yes.
So, he disobeyed God. And he tries to spin it that, oh, you know, the guys wanted to take the very best livestock,
right,
and offer them to the Lord as a thank offering for his protection and their victory.
That's not what
that So, is. Exactly. That's yeah. not what he was told to do.
Right.
So Samuel, in 1 Samuel 15:22, asked the rhetorical question, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To wow. obey is better than sacrifice.
Right.
Okay, so that's the context. Why is obedience better than sacrifice? Well, the first reason ought to be obvious. If you disobey the Lord, you can't make up for it by sacrifices and offerings. No. Your sacrifices and offerings don't erase your disobedience to the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
And you see a lot of Saul's mindset in the religious establishment that Jesus encountered. They were offering up sacrifices in the temple all the time.
Right.
But they were disobeying the word of the Lord.
Mm. Right.
And God, in his hierarchy of things that are important, puts obedience well above sacrifice, because offering a sacrifice can be an empty gesture. It can be an attempt to essentially buy God off.
Right, manipulate him.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, God, look, I
look
did the
I'm
sacrifice.
Doing.
Yeah, but did you obey me?
Right.
All right. So, for very obvious reasons, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so, in the passage, we see an expansion of that. Samuel's response is the first example, because Samuel responded to Saul by saying, for rebellion, which is disobedience,
right,
is like the sin of divination, a pagan ritual of divining spirits, calling upon spirits,
huh,
which God completely condemns in the Old Testament. Rebelling, he said, is like consulting the spirits of the dead, trying to divine the evil spirits, and arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Now, that's strong language.
It is.
Samuel was saying, when you disobey the Lord, that's as bad as pagan ritual, consulting the dead.
Wow.
It reflects arrogance.
Right.
Who are you to assume your way is better than God's?
Right.
And that kind of arrogance is equated with idolatry, worshiping false images and counterfeit deities.
Right.
He goes on to say, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And from that point on, Saul still had the crown, but he was done as the king of Israel. It was just a matter of time till he would die and David would take his place. So The first reason Samuel stated why God wants obedience rather than sacrifice is because disobedience is an act of rebellion on the same level as consulting demonic spirits and worshiping idols.
Wow.
Okay? I don't think most Christians think of disobedience in those strong terms.
No.
Now, the second answer comes, oddly enough, from Saul's confession. Because he then responds, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. And he gives the reason. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Well, now that's classic buck passing.
Right.
I mean, you can hear the inference. I was got to obey, but the guys pressured me.
His soldiers, he's talking
about. My soldiers pressured me, and I come. You know, I hate to admit it, but I was afraid, and I gave in. Well, all that means is that he feared people more than he feared God.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So even in his buck passing, the mess lands right back in his lap. Mm. And Saul, in those words, admitted that the sacrifice was a sin against God, that it should have never happened. It was against God's command. He permitted it because he was more afraid of the people than he was concerned with obeying God.
Right.
So out of his own mouth, he condemns himself further. He didn't make things better with that feeble attempt. He actually made things worse.
Right.
So why is obedience better than sacrifice? First, because disobedience is spiritual rebellion. Disobedience is sin. Disobedience is on the same plane as consulting the spirits of the dead. Disobedience is a form of idolatry. Disobedience disrespects the word of God. And disobedience is based oftentimes in fearing people and wanting to look good to people and have people's approval, rather than fearing God and wanting to be approved and accepted by God.
Right. We could do a whole conversation just on what disobedience means.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty clear. When God has said don't do something, you do it. Or when God has said do something, you don't do it.
Right.
Both are disobedience. There's the disobedience of action, and there's the disobedience of inaction. People talk about sins of commission, something I committed, sins of omission, something I should have done and didn't.
Right.
And of course, I think it's James in the New Testament that says, to him who knows to do the right, but he does it not, to him it is sin.
Right, right.
So, why is obedience better than sacrifice? Because disobedience is on the same plane as idolatry.
Right.
And it's grounded in things that are an insult to God. You may remember, Greg, because you've been here a good while, years ago when I was teaching on the sacrifice of praise here at ACAC.
Right.
Because there were people who were fearful of biblical praise.
Right.
And I did a whole series on the sacrifice of praise. I said that sometimes people sort of poo-poo the importance of corporate praise and the sacrifice of praise.
Right.
By quoting this verse, but obedience is better than sacrifice. Uh-huh. I've heard people do that. Well, you know, we don't vocally, openly, enthusiastically praise God in our worship services. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But the problem is the sacrifice of praise is something God commands.
Right.
So when you don't offer up the sacrifice of praise, that is disobedience.
Mm. Right. Right.
So you never want to use that lame argument against the sacrifice of praise. Well, obedience is better.
Right.
We don't enthusiastically praise God, but we focus on obedience. No, if you aren't offering up the sacrifice of praise, you are disobedient.
It's almost like trying to be like the soldiers, more holier than what God is commanding you to be.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
God didn't command them to offer them up a sacrifice.
Right. But we're going to be holy and do it anyway.
That's at the core of Phariseeism that Jesus encountered. They always wanted to go God one better.
Right.
God would give one simple command, and they would add 100, and I'm not exaggerating, they would add 100 little commands attached to that one. It was like God's command wasn't enough. We've got to go in one better.
Right, right, exactly.
And they did that, for example, with the Sabbath. God said, honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Work 6 days, the seventh day, you rest in a way of honoring me. Well, then they came up with laws. How far could you walk before you were laboring? How many sticks could you carry?
Oh, geez.
And not be laboring? And if you had to travel a mile and anything beyond a half mile was labor, could you hire somebody to go the other half mile on your... I mean, that's...
Yeah.
See,
that's,
but they were trying to go God one better.
Right.
Phariseeism does that. But it wasn't new. That's what those soldiers were doing under Saul.
Yes.
So...
Yeah.
For a whole host of reasons, obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, how does that pertain to us today? When you come into the congregation and you offer up the sacrifice of praise, it's not a substitute for obeying God.
No.
If you're shacking up on Saturday night, you can't buy God off by praising him on Sunday morning.
That's right.
If you've been dishonest in your business dealings all week, sacrificing some of your time in serving the Lord on Sunday is no substitute.
No.
God desires obedience more than sacrifice. He desires that we live sacrificially. That's part of being like Christ.
Right.
But sacrifice is never a substitute for obedience, which is why one old black pastor said, I don't care how high you jump on Sunday. I want to know how straight you walk on Monday.
Amen.
And maybe that's a good close.
Amen. Well, thank you for clearing that up.
Sure. Thank you.
That's good stuff.